Well, I wonder who's got family coming to stay this Christmas? Hands up. I've got one hand up over there. Who's coming to stay, Ben?
Grandma.
Grandma's coming to stay. Who's coming to stay?
Daughter.
Your daughter and son-in-law. Good, good. Anybody else? Anybody going to see family over Christmas? Yeah, I'm off a couple of days this week to go and see my mum and take the children to see their grandma. Where are you going to see? You're going to see your daughters? Are we all really home alone for Christmas? Is that Fiona's away today, isn't she, seeing her mum? I know Fiona's doing that. Where are you going, Emmy? You're going to go and see your cousins? Is that Dan? It is Dan, isn't it? Where are you going? Nan and Grandad's. Wonderful. Brilliant. Harrison, I've already said where we're going, but we're going to see Grandma, aren't we? Yes. Okay. Christmas is all about people, isn't it? A lot of the time, Christmas is about visiting and seeing friends and family, perhaps we haven't seen for a while, or at least who we want to keep this special time with. And as I preach this morning, I want to introduce you and speak to you briefly about three of the people from the Christmas accounts. I want to show you from that passage we've just read some of the truths we can learn and the challenges we can be asked. What lessons can we learn? We're going, I hope, to look at these three. Matthew, the gospel writer. You didn't think he was in the story, did you? Well, he's not technically, but he's here because he wrote it down for us. Joseph and Mary. So a brief comment then first on Matthew, our writer, the guy's words who we've just read. It's very clear that for Matthew, the word of God to his people, that is God's word to God's people, is very important. Look with me at verse 22 that we've just read. All this took place to fulfill what the Lord had said through the prophet. Matthew could very easily have said, this took place to fulfill what the prophet had said. He could have said that, would have meant the same thing, but he didn't. He had a particular emphasis. He took the time and the ink and the parchment, and they were not cheap in those days. We can understand that every word written was written carefully and chosen wisely. And he wrote, all this took place to fulfill what the Lord had said through the prophet. Matthew's priority is very clear. He wants to tell us that the whole account of Jesus' birth is a fulfillment of what God has promised. Not just the words of the prophet, it's God has promised that he would be with us, and God has kept his promise to be with us. That is what Matthew wants us to pick up, that God keeps his promises, that God is with us, has been the focus of our preaching in the Sunday evenings. And if you want to explore the idea of God with us, I would encourage you to go and listen to those sermons online. Especially, of course, the rest of verse 23. That's the Isaiah prophecy that we hear so often at Christmas. The virgin will be with child and will give birth to a son, and they will call him Emmanuel, which means God with us. Now, I'm not going to go into that much this morning, as I say. You can listen to the sermons from previous weeks, or you could even come along this evening to our carol concert when we will think again on what it means that God is with us. So, for this morning, the first thing we must note, indeed, the first thing we must choose to accept or not, is that for Matthew, this is what the Lord says to his people. Do you really believe that this book, this Bible, is God's word? Do you really believe that the Bible is true and infallible? And what we're reading as we look at the Christmas account is an accurate account of what happened. The Bible is not lying when it says that a virgin gave birth to a baby because what is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. It's telling the truth. Doesn't that blow your mind? Doesn't that make you think twice? Doesn't that say, hang on a minute? And that's, of course, the first question of the Christmas story, the Christmas account. If you don't believe it, there isn't all that much point carrying on thinking and studying about it. You have to trust that the Bible's true, that what we're celebrating really happened, but I believe it. And I know that every Christian here believes that it's true. And they live their lives based on this word of God, this Bible that we have. And it's certainly what Matthew believed. And it's certainly what Matthew wanted his readers to hear and to know and to understand. That was his emphasis. All this, he said, is God's word. God keeps his promise. The Bible, he says, is true. So then what does this accurate and wonderful word say about Joseph? Joseph, the central character in Matthew's account of the history of Christmas. As Matthew writes, it's all about Joseph. Forgive me, ladies. Luke is much more on the ladies' side and a balanced account. Matthew really brings the emphasis in to Joseph. It's all about what Joseph thinks and what he does. And Matthew presents Joseph as the best adoptee father in the world. That's how Matthew presents Joseph. The best stepdad in the world, the best adopting father you could imagine. Joseph is described as being faithful to the law in verse 19. And literally the word in the original Greek is just. Joseph is just, but what that means is he kept the Mosaic law. All that God had said so far, Joseph sought to keep, but not to excess. He didn't go, we often hear about the Pharisees who took the law to excess. Not that, that's not what Joseph was. In the times of Jesus, the Pharisees and others had written the Mishnah, which is a commentary on the law. And the law demanded that Joseph divorce Mary. Demanded that he make a pretty public disgrace and of her and shame her. But Joseph's righteous following of the law is tempered by grace and mercy. Not the outrage of the Pharisee for Joseph, but instead the understanding of a man who knows what would happen if a young girl's life was given over to public shame now, and the distress and the trouble and the strife it would have caused for her. Indeed, a ruined life, really, and she perhaps only a teenager. Joseph comes across then as a patient and prayerful man, full of godly wisdom, living a righteous life that is tempered by consideration for all those around him, full of grace and mercy. I wonder if you've ever considered Joseph as a role model as you read the Christmas story. I could put my hand up and say there's been a few Christmases when I should have been a bit more like Joseph with the family at times. Perhaps you can too. Is he a good role model for us? Having said all that, we must understand that Joseph is not Jesus' father. Matthew makes it very clear that Jesus, sorry, I've said that wrong, that Joseph is Jesus' father, but only in one sense. He is not his biological father, but he is his legal father. Matthew makes this point very clearly in the text. It's very important to Matthew that we understand this. Joseph adopted baby Jesus according to the traditions of the day. Look with me at verse 21, which I hope will come up. Here it is. She, that is Mary, will give birth to a son, and you, that is Joseph, are to give him the name Jesus. And here is a quote from Isaiah. I have summoned you by name. You are mine. The act of naming was also claiming fatherhood. If Joseph had wanted not to be Jesus' legal father, he could have done. Mary could have given him his name. But Jesus makes a point of fulfilling what he is commanded to do. And if we were in any doubt, Matthew records for us in verse 25 that it happens. Joseph did as he was instructed. So Joseph is given, Joseph takes on the legal responsibility for Jesus. He is his adopted father. Well, let me now apply these truths to us today. First, here is encouragement for us as we see the rise in what we now call blended families in our society. God chose for his own son to have an adopted father. We should never look down on broken families and damaged families. We should, as God did, look for the love and the grace and the compassion that can be in them and encourage them and be positive and supportive. We should understand that if God chose this for his son, then good and love and happiness can come out. And God will work great good and glory to his name, even from difficult human family situations. But that is one very human practical application. Here is another that is almost, I think, in fact, I'm convinced, more important. Jesus came and was adopted into a family to show us that we need to be adopted into a family. Indeed, Jesus came and was adopted into a human family so that you and I can be adopted into a spiritual family. We can be adopted into God's family, the Trinity. We call them the Godhead. That's what God is all about. That's why Jesus came, to draw people to himself, to be the first brother in a huge family. And Mary shows us how this happens. Mary, in this account, very simply allows herself to be led by the Holy Spirit to serve God. Now, that's not to say that Joseph wasn't, only that Mary was and is so clearly in this account. Mary, when the Spirit came to her, she had to choose. Will I obey God? Will I follow the Spirit of God's leading in my life? Or will I go another way? She had no way of knowing what might happen, humanly speaking. The angel didn't talk about what Joseph was going to do when he found out that Mary was pregnant. But she goes with God. She follows the Spirit's lead. And she is blessed for it. First, the public divorce that she might honestly have expected doesn't come about. Joseph says, let's do it quietly. And then, of course, after the miraculous intervention, Joseph changes again and says, no. We will get married. We will make this work. You will be my wife. Mary is the example of how we walk as Joseph walked, righteously. Mary is the example of how we can walk with Jesus, follow the Spirit's leading. Mary is the example of how we can become part of God's family. Accept God's call on our lives. Follow the Spirit's lead. The only question is this. Is he leading you today? Do you feel that today is the day for you to accept that the Bible is true? That Jesus is truly God with us? That you can be, if you follow the Spirit's lead and if you believe in Jesus Christ, you can be adopted into this amazing, wonderful family. The family that has God, the Father, as Father. Jesus Christ as our elder brother. And an uncountable number of people from every race, tribe, tongue, and time, from the beginning of time until the end. And they will be our brothers and sisters. And we will know them and be with them all for eternity. This is the real family of Christmas. Are you a part of it? Would you like to be? I would encourage you to be. It's the greatest family there is. If you'd like to do that, I would encourage you to speak to me or to the Christian friend who brought you after the service. On the table, not on the table at the back, on the stand by the door, you'll find a number of helps which could help you. One of them is this little booklet, Knowing God Personally. And at the back of that, after it's explained what I've explained today, some more things beside, it says there's a suggested prayer. Because as we follow the Spirit's lead, we have to accept that God and his family are perfect and holy, and we are not. And if we're to join that family, we have to set aside our enjoyment of things that are wrong and focus on things that are right. The Bible calls those wrong things sin, and it calls following God holiness or righteousness. And it challenges us to turn away from sin. And turn to righteousness and join that family, the family of Christmas. Well, I encourage you to think about that. I encourage you to take this little booklet and to pray the prayer, to talk to me or to a Christian friend after this service, and perhaps even to give your life to that family today. Shall we pray? Father God, we thank you for the Lord Jesus Christ. We thank you for his birth. We thank you for the way that his human mother and father show us so much about what was going on. We thank you that we have an accurate account, that we can see that Joseph was a kind and compassionate, prayerful, patient, wise, and righteous man. We thank you for his obedience to you, adopting your son. We thank you for the illustration of Mary. And we pray that we can be like her, following the Spirit's lead. Father, will you come and speak to us today and tell us what we should do? And will you help us, please, to follow the Spirit's lead? Pray, our Father, that you would help us to turn again from the things that we do wrong. Turn again from our sin. And turn to you and look and learn, and indeed to join in with this wonderful family that you built, that you built in and through Jesus Christ. We thank you that you are creating a family of so many people, and we pray, our Father, we can be part of it today. Amen.